Well, good morning, and if you're visiting with us, I want to welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we begin this morning to look at God's Word, let me pray. Father, I ask that you would open ears and make us hearers of the Word who not only hear, but also do. Allow your word to be planted richly in our hearts and allow us to continue in it steadfastly. Pray that your spirit would open our minds and our hearts now so that we might behold wonderful things, that we might behold you, Father, Son, and Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our text for today is Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 21. Now, as we've seen over the last couple of weeks, Jesus continues his ministry through Galilee with unlikely companions while he proclaims and teaches about the upside-down kingdom of God, an unlikely thing. And Jesus then continues to draw crowds while continuing to have opposition grow from religious leaders who struggle for his call to humility and forgiveness through those who trust in him. In today's passage, we see Jesus teaching in a parable, and a parable is an everyday illustration that points to a spiritual reality. In order to reveal truth to those with spiritual understanding, while at the same time concealing it for those who refuse to hear. And so he's going to cite Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 to 10 to explain this approach, which actually in the context of Isaiah chapter 6, it highlights how both Israel's leaders and Israel themselves would face judgment for refusing to listen, but then at the same time holding out the hope of the coming Messiah who would redeem. And that's why this connection Jesus makes to Isaiah chapter 6. So the parable is going to present two clear responses. There's people who trust and receive Jesus as God's word, and then people who reject and consider his teaching foolish. And so, using this particular imagery, familiar to first century audience, Jesus illustrates the kingdom of God and how it grows through the transforming power of his word in receptive hearts, not through political power. And so, like two contrasting garden plots, the condition of our hearts determines our spiritual fruitfulness. And so, just like the religious leaders and some of the crowd, we often fail to bear fruit due to worldly distractions, due to fleshly desires, and due to devilish temptations, rather than living out and receiving the word of God deeply. So if you would like to find out how you can bear a great harvest of fruit, please listen carefully as we read from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 21, and then as we look at it this morning. This is the word of God. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell on the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and brothers and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. The grass withers, the flowers they fade, but the word of our God is forever." And all God's people said, Amen. So as we see in this text, Jesus teaches us that fruitful hearing of God's word is to receive him deeply and live out of him persistently. I have a question for you today. If you hear your parents or your boss or someone in authority give you instructions and you up to some complicated task and you listen to them, but then you go and you don't do those explicit directions, you don't remember those directions, you don't follow those directions, have you truly listened to them? And if not, will it do any good when it comes time for the task to have heard? And what will they say to you afterward when it wasn't done according to their explicit direction? The distinction between hearing and listening is incredibly vital. Jesus emphasizes this by using the word hear 9 times in this passage. 9 times. Before we explore this any further, though, remember that Jesus himself is the Word of God. John 1, verse 1, John 1, verse 14 tell us that when we speak of hearing God's word, we're ultimately talking about receiving and responding to Christ himself. You see, the reality here is that the scripture that we often tend to think as the word is the revelation or the revealing of Jesus Christ, the true word. And so the scripture speaks to us of Christ and all that he's done for us. Now, in verse 8, Jesus commands the crowd to hear with receptive hearts. Like fertile soil producing a harvest, genuine hearing, it involves both absorbing Jesus' word and living them out faithfully. Then verse 15 describes the fruitful soil as those who hear with good hearts, who retain the word, and who bear spiritual fruit with perseverance or steadfastness. This spiritual fruit, by the way, manifests itself in the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, against which there is no law. Jesus then warns in verse 18 that those who don't use what they've received are going to lose it. Fruitful hearing actually means actively practicing Jesus' teaching. Finally, in verse 21, Jesus redefines family as those who hear him and who do what he says. That's family, the family of Jesus. And so what we see is that fruitful hearing requires both a deep reception of Jesus' words and then also obedience to those words. But we would like to say that we are fruitful hearers, doing everything that Jesus says. But the reality is that we often hear God's word fruitlessly. We allow life's distractions to choke out its growth in our lives. You know, the truth is, that we hear God's word, usually we'll go in one ear and right out the other without fruit. We allow those distractions of the life to grip us and to just ignore what we've been taught. Just like the people in Jesus' day, many people today regularly hear the word through scripture reading, through sermons, through podcasts, but they rarely put into practice those things that they hear. We are so easily distracted by buzzing phones, by packed schedules, by endless learning, by worldly pursuits, that God's word quickly leaves our minds and hearts choking out potential fruit. And there are three primary ways that people reject the word of God. The first is the path people. This is verses 5 and 12. This is those who are under Satan's influence. The word falls on them, it says, and it gets trampled, it gets stolen by Satan, preventing them from believing and preventing their salvation. These people are not protected by Christ because they don't love the true God. They reject the true God. They prefer a controllable God, a controllable deity, or self-worship, making the devil and what he says their God. That's the path people. Next, we see the rock people, shallow faith, verses 6 and 13. The word appears fruitful in their lives, but withers as they delight in freedom from shame and guilt without true roots. These are people who hear the gospel that you can be free from your shame, free from your guilt, and it sounds so great, but they seek a comfortable life centered on self and they fall away in trials. They're not rooted in Christ. They fall away when temptations come, when trials come. They want Christ's benefits without the cost of taking up the cross and following him. They make the flesh their God. So that first group of people, the path people, are those who are under the power of Satan, the devil. The rock people are under the power of the world. And the third people are under the power of the flesh. These are the thorn garden people. Verses 7 and 14, the word comes to them, but it gets choked out by earthly pleasures and by riches. They hear the word, but their competing affections for worldly things prove stronger than their love for God, their love for Christ, revealing that the flesh is their God. I'd like to give you four examples of modern examples of fruitless hearing. First, oh, the devil, he's just a fairy tale. I'll do what feels good. Those are the path hearers. They deny spiritual reality. Or how about this? I believe in Jesus, but there's parts of the scripture just too hard for me. I don't want those. I reject those. Those are the rock hearers. They abandon the truth when the truth is difficult for them to hear. Or the third one, I don't need church, I have Jesus at home. Those are the thorn garden hearers, letting the worldly priorities consume them and overtake them. And then there's another one, I keep the commandments. It's not specifically mentioned in the passage, but these are legalists. They don't actually produce fruit. Oh, they hear. Oh, they listen. And they try to live their lives in conformity to what they think is true and right, but they don't show fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, etc. The consequences of this rejection is terrifying. Jesus illustrates it in verses 16 to 18 with a lamp, like a flashlight that someone has given you, and then you end up having a power outage, and you pick up the flashlight and you just put it back in the drawer and you walk around in the dark. Jesus says, who does that? Who takes a lamp and doesn't put it on a lampstand to look at? And who takes that lamp and puts it under the bed so you can't see? And then he goes and says, to the one who has been given but does not put it into practice, that one, it will be taken away. But to the one who hears and produces, more will be given. What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, is it basically here, is that if you are imagine a farmer in a field who has all the great conditions. He has the rain, he has the sun, he has great seeds, he has all the equipment, he has everything that he needs, and then he goes and puts a black tarp over the entire field. What's going to happen? Nothing's going to grow. And what Jesus is saying is, I'm not giving my seed to those people. I'm going to take it away from them. If you do not follow what I tell you, you're just going to get the word taken away. The purpose of parables in verses 9 to 10 includes this hardening effect for the dull who reject the truth. See, continued rejection of Jesus' call, continued rejection of the word of God leads to losing the very word that you've heard. And so only the sovereign grace of God can transform resistant hearts into fertile soil. The Holy Spirit has to open us up and allow us to see the word and to truly hear and see, and then as we see, then show us our need of Christ and then live in him. And so though rejection of God's word leads to loss, there is good news. Jesus shows us what perfect hearing looks like. Jesus, the living word, perfectly embodied fruitful hearing by fully obeying the Father. Jesus heard his Father and did every single word. I'm sure you've met them before. You know what I'm talking about. The perfect students who take detailed notes with perfect penmanship, who listen, who know every instruction, then who do exactly what they're told. You know those people. Maybe you're one of them. Or maybe you can't stand people like that. I don't know. But this type of person, I think, is a good example of a fruitful hearer who takes and puts into practice what they've learned. Now, imagine taking a notebook full of notes about a task, and then guess what you do? You just throw it out and you just do it your own way. That's kind of a problem. And that's the idea, is a fruitful hearer. No, they take their notebook, they've written it down, and now they pick their notebook up, and as they're doing the task, step one, step two, step three, step four, those are fruitful hearers. In verse 11, Jesus tells us that the seed is God's word. And so, remember, as I said, and let's remind ourselves that Jesus is the word of God incarnate. Jesus is the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the one who is the true light, who is God, that came to live among us to show us God's glory and to give us God's grace. But Jesus, we read in the Scriptures, he doesn't ever speak of his own authority, he says, but I only speak what the Father has commanded me to speak. In John 12, 49 to 50. As the true vine, he consistently bore righteous fruit, demonstrating perfect submission to God's will in every circumstance. But how does he do it? Jesus is the eternal Word who took on flesh. He perfectly loved and perfectly obeyed the Father. He does nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. He does not speak of his own authority, but only says what the Father tells him, what the Father says. He's the perfect hearer of God. He's the perfect doer of God's word. He is the Word who does the word, who sees his Father and lives it out perfectly. He lived a perfect life doing his Father's will. And so Jesus is the one who is the one obedient son who perfectly listens and follows the Father's will. Now, right before his death, Jesus said to his disciples in John 12, 24 to 25, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Jesus is the ultimate fruitful one who gave himself up to die so that he would give us life. He is the ultimate bearer of fruit. And this room is an example of the fruit that he bore. And this is what I like to call life that comes through death principle. That's what Jesus is talking about. This is the gospel. Life comes through death. In John 12, 27 to 28, Jesus tells his disciples that his soul is troubled because of his upcoming death on the cross. And so he seems to sort of blend his conversation with them and pray to his Father at the same time, asking that he would be glorified. And the Father responds to him and says that he has glorified his name and he will glorify it again, more than likely referring to his death and resurrection. And then Jesus gets to the point. He's the one that solves our problem of not being good hearers and doers, deserving that we, as not good hearers and doers, deserve God's judgment for our rebellion, for letting God's word go in one ear and out the other. He says this, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Jesus would die on the cross to take our judgment. Christ's crucifixion accomplished two victories, dual victories. The first, he defeated Satan so that Satan can no longer take the word away from those who he has called. And secondly, his death atoned for our disobedience, paid for our disobedience, and destroyed the work of our greatest enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. These three things that try to grab us and keep us and keep the word from being rooted in our lives. Jesus destroyed all three of those, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so he was the one who answered no word at his trial and was found guilty, though innocent. So that we are who, when we are tried, that we will be found innocent, though guilty. Jesus' life was choked out to make us fruitful vines. Jesus is the fruitful one who died to give us life. Jesus is the seed that was buried in the ground for 3 days and rose again so that he might sprout works of righteousness in you and I. The gospel offer is in verses 9 to 10 and 21. The revelation of the kingdom's secret. Jesus offers himself as the living word. He commands us to hear, not just with our ears, but with saving faith. And what are we to hear? That if we trust in him, that if we confess with our mouth that he's Lord, that you will then hear him and follow him and put into practice what he's commanded out of love, not to earn salvation, but to actually live in the love of what God has done. And then believe in our heart that he rose from the dead, and on the third day, after he paid the penalty for our sins, that's salvation. Jesus is offering this in this passage. Hear my words. Hear my words. Do my words. And if you remember what John says in his book, he says, what is the work of God? The work of God is to believe that I am he, the one who was sent to save you for your sins. Doing the word is hearing, believing, and trusting in Christ. And so Jesus calls us today, if you haven't fruitfully heard him yet, to hear and do the work of God. If you believe in him, though, fruitfully hearing and following him, as a child of his family, Jesus is calling you to live out the reality of who he is and be doers of the word. This call to turn away from being idle hearers and turn to Jesus and live in the light of his forgiveness is something that is ours if we simply believe. And so because of Jesus' resurrection, because of the Father's promise of the Holy Spirit, Jesus lives in us, giving us the Holy Spirit, and through that Holy Spirit, we are empowered to cultivate hearts that fruitfully hear and bear fruit. The Holy Spirit empowers you to not just hear. The Holy Spirit empowers you to bear fruit. And so, through faith in Christ, we're united to him, the perfect listener and the perfect doer. And his Spirit enables us to bear natural fruit from our union with him and from our sonship. And that's why Jesus in verse 21 says, "Those who are my mother and my brothers are those who hear my words and put them into practice." That those people who have that, who hear his words and put them into practice, are his family, and his family have come to be his family by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit cries out and tells us that we're his family when it cries out to the Father, Abba, Father. And so rather than approaching the Word of God like students cramming for a test, oh, do I get it all exactly right? We relate as children who eagerly listen to the instructions of a loving father who cares for them. There's a big difference between studying for a test and trying to lovingly obey someone because they're wonderful. So, the Holy Spirit enables this transformation in us through enabling us to hear the Word of God. And I put together a little acronym here, hear. First is hold fast. Just as the good soil, it says, holds fast to the seed, the Spirit enables you to grip tightly onto Christ and never let him go. He can enable you to read and meditate on Scripture and let the words of God sink deep into your soul. That's the first one. Hold fast. The second one is to engage deeply. Just as good soil has a good heart, the Spirit enables us to engage with God's Word prayerfully as beloved children, not as people who are taking a test, listening to their Father. He can turn the reading of His Word from a duty that you've got to do to mark a checkbox on your spiritual disciplines to a delight where you're reading the Bible in delight of Him because you're seeing Him in His beauty. And third, abide consistently. Just as the good soil is steadfast, the Spirit enables us to remain connected to Christ, the true vine. He can enable you to be consistent in reading the Word, in praying, in meditating, and living that out. And then lastly, respond fruitfully. Just as the good soil bears fruit, the Spirit has made us God's children, as it says in verse 21. And so He can enable you to hear the Word of God and do it. This is the Spirit's power. You can't obey God's Word in your own power, but the Spirit can enable you to hear the Word and to do it through Spirit-empowered action. And what this does is it can enable a James chapter 1 lifestyle. And what is that? James picks up on Jesus' teaching. You've heard this all before. If you've been in your Bible or been in church for any time, you've probably heard this before. Be hearers of the word. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. James picks right up on it. Jesus says, hey, you hear the word, you don't put it into practice, you have really no reason to think that you're in my family, and I'm going to take everything that you have away from you. I'm not making this stuff up. This is what the Scripture says. You hear God's word, you don't do it, you don't live it out, He's going to take it away. So James says, yeah, you deceive yourself if you hear and you don't do. And so further in James, it says that you look intently in the law of liberty. You study the Scripture deeply, verse 25 of James 1. You control your speech, verse 26 of that same passage. You care for the vulnerable, the widows and the orphans. You show impartiality. You reflect Christ in your life, not living in worldliness, caught up in the world and the things of the world. You love the poor. You pray consistently. That's the book of James's outline is that. If you ever want to dig into the book of James, that's the outline. Hear the word, do it, study it, control your speech, care for the vulnerable, don't be worldly, show impartiality, love the poor, pray consistently. Now here I am telling you to do, 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 do. The reality is that's what Jesus says. If you hear God's word and don't put it into practice, Jesus warns you that what you have already can be taken away. The Spirit is the one that enables you to put it into practice. But in order to do that, you have to desire Him and have your heart deeply rooted, steadfastly committed to Christ, the true Word. And so we are called to grow in Christ's grace and knowledge. We are called to strive forward, and we're also called to acknowledge our imperfections. But Christ's perfect hearing covers our inadequacies, but the Spirit does enable you and me to bear fruit to God's glory. So remember this. Jesus perfectly heard the Father, and through His life, death, and resurrection, He will enable you not only to hear His words, but also to bear fruit even 100-fold for the glory of God by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Father, we have been challenged today as Your people to be hearers and doers of Your word. We cannot do this without Your empowerment. We cannot do this without a spirit of prayer and without looking into Your word. And so we pray that You would pour upon each and every one of us a desire to be in prayer, seeking Your face, asking You to give us a spirit of prayer, and be in us and ask us, help allow us to ask You that we would also hear Your word fruitfully, and that we would listen and be in Your word day in and day out. Lord, we need You, or we cannot do the things You ask us to do. And so we ask that You would do this to Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.